It is a joy and a pleasure to be with you again this Sunday. One of the challenges always stepping in to guest preach is you never quite know what has come before. Particularly in a situation like this where you do your lectionary readings, where you're faithfully going through the Bible in a three-year cycle. And today, one of the passages that leapt out at me was from the book of Galatians. And I'm not sure if either of your other preachers have been preaching from that particular text, but Galatians is a fun book. Galatians is a historic book, a piece that we know several interesting tidbits about. And forgive me if I'm retracing what you may have heard, because today's lesson is from the very end of Galatians. So, as you hopefully know, that during the early church, Jesus had been crucified, dead, resurrected, and he'd been seen first by the women and then by a larger circle, and then he sends out his disciples, and then there's this thing called Pentecost, and suddenly there's this explosive growth. And what begins to happen there is there's two main leaders of the church that we learn about. Invariably, there were more, but unfortunately, the way the story gets told, we really only hear about Peter and Paul. And we have Peter, who is known as the Rock, the one who takes this new message, this good news, and takes it to the Jewish community. Both there in Jerusalem and other places where the diaspora, where the Jewish community had kind of spread out from there. And then there's this other guy, Paul, who's also taking the good news and the gospel, but he's going on these missionary journeys. And we know of at least three, we aren't sure exactly how many times, we've tried to reconstruct it, where Paul is going out into the known world and beginning to proclaim this good news. And for several of Paul's missionary journeys, he's traveling by land. So if you're going from what is now Israel and kind of working your way up around the Mediterranean, does anyone know that big, long country that's kind of up there? Turkey, okay? Then you're going to get Greece, you're going to get Italy. But there's what we now call Turkey. And we know Paul spent a lot of time there. And the reason we know that is a lot of our Bible was written by Paul to these churches in what is now Turkey. And one of those books was Galatians, which, as it states there in the very opening chapter, to the churches of Galatia. Does anyone know where Galatia is in Turkey? Yes, Jim. Sure. Exactly. So it's an inland province. It's close to Antioch. And it was completely landlocked. Have you been there? It's on my bucket list. Has anyone been to that part of the world yet? We need to get there. Anyway, there was a Roman province called Galatia, which is right there in central what we now call Turkey. And sometimes the historians say there was a northern Galatia and a southern Galatia. The northern Galatia would have been a group of people who understood themselves as Galatians. And Galatians were an interesting group. We don't know a whole lot about them, but what we do know is they aren't originally from that area. And they also aren't from the Holy Land. In fact, most people believe that Galatians were Celtic people. Okay, so they're way up in northern Europe sometime, and at some point, probably about 50 years before Christ or 100 years before Christ, for whatever reason, northern Europe, and came down across the sea into what is now Turkey. And there they settled, and they created communities. We don't know a whole lot. They may have pushed out another group of people as they came in. This happens a lot. But for whatever reason, that was the group of people that Paul, as he was going up through Turkey, resonated with. And there's all kinds of early churches that were started there. They believe there are about seven different churches that, as this missionary named Paul was going through, that were established there. And he proclaimed this good news of Jesus Christ about a new creation, about the death of Jesus upon the cross, and how somehow that death transforms people. And then Paul continued on his missionary journey, and some other people followed behind. Some other missionaries who, hopefully, we'll give them benefit of the doubt, meant well. But Paul had an issue with them because they were preaching something that Paul thought was antithetical to the gospel. And what they were preaching was that this group of people from Galatia who were not already Jewish, that they had to be circumcised. Circumcision. It's something that it's kind of awkward to talk about in church. The Bible talks a lot about it. There's over 100 references to circumcision, and it goes all the way back to Abraham. Many scholars say it actually goes way before Abraham. Circumcision was being practiced by all kinds of cultures in that part of the world, what we now call Syria. Several different communities, not just the Israelite community, were practicing this thing called circumcision. As the Jewish people began to understand it, it became the covenant relationship. It was the mark of the flesh that identified people as being a part of this covenant. I love the book of Galatians, and not just because of this odd passage and fixation with marks of the flesh. I love Galatians because some of my favorite passages are there. There's one where Paul takes and breaks down these binaries, these various things that separate us into groups. He says, no longer is there Jew or Greek. No longer is there a slave or a free person. No longer is there even male or female. All of these things that separate us are no longer important, for we are one in Christ. Later, he talks about, he takes an image that would have been used very common in the Israelite community about slavery. It's a central narrative in our Hebrew Bible as the Israelite people were slaves there in Egypt, and the whole Exodus narrative. And Paul goes a step further and says, not only are we slaves who have been made free, but we are children who have been adopted. Okay? And for Paul, being adopted doesn't just mean that you're being brought into the family, but that you're being brought into the family and lifted up as an equal. That no longer are you any different than any biological child who may be a part of that family. Now, this particular text resonates with me because I am an adoptive parent. I have three adopted children. They're all teenagers now. And even as I was in, or as my wife and I were in the process of that adoption, in the back of your mind, you wonder, will this child be mine? Early on, it's a very real question as you're going through all the studies and all the reviews, and both the U.S. government as well as, in our case, the Thai government were reviewing us and interviewing us and having various people visit our home and talk to people whom we knew. And the question was very real. Will these children be ours? And after almost 2 years of kind of wading through that process, we brought the children home. We did it in two different waves, but each time as our children came home to us, we realized they are ours. Completely and totally. We are theirs. There's no separation that happens there. The love that gets birthed in relationships like that are as strong and as fast as any blood tie. That's what Paul's getting to in Galatians. He's saying what is happening is transforming what we now know as family. He goes on to say, how do we know good things are happening? How do we know there is a new birth in us? And he says, you can tell by the fruit of the Spirit. And he begins by saying, if there's quarreling, if there's dissension, if there's fights, that's not a new birth. You know the new birth by the fruit of the Spirit. And there's three sets of three. He says, by love, joy, and peace being evident. By patience, kindness, and generosity that breaks forth. Through faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then we get to the end of Galatians. And he's again talking about these marks of the flesh. And he starts our passage that we read today by saying, see these large letters? That means I'm writing this in my own hand. And this would have been a common way for letters as they were being written by a scribe. There at the very end, instead of just signing your name to what the scribe had written, oftentimes there's a paragraph, some sort of greeting or dismissal that's written in its own hand. And Paul writes, see this big lettering that is in my hand. And he goes on to say and summarize the entire book of Galatians, which is a short read. You could read it on your way home today in the car if you wanted to. He says, neither circumcision or uncircumcision is anything, but new creation is everything. What he's saying is, these old laws, these old containers that kind of hemmed people into community isn't anything. Following these laws isn't anything. He goes on to say, even the uncircumcised, even you Gentiles in Galatia, the fact that you are not circumcised, that also isn't anything. Instead, there is a new creation. And the Greek is interesting here. He misses a preposition. And oftentimes in English translation, the preposition is there. But essentially it goes like this. Neither circumcision or uncircumcision is anything. But, and you can hear him stuttering over his words. But, new creation. Something new is happening. I want each of you to think of new creation. Think of something that springs to mind when you hear those words. New creation. I don't know what you're thinking. Some of you may be seeing a sunrise as it breaks forth over the hills with those rays of light that just dapple through the trees. Some of you may be thinking of a newborn baby with all of the tininess that's involved in that, the potential that is there. Some of you may be thinking of cosmic clouds of dust where new universes are literally being born and birthed into existence. Some of you may be thinking of new families, new weddings, new children, new homes, new creations. There's also the new creation of the church. We stand at a juncture in history where some of the old laws seem to not fit. Or at least we have an influx of people into our communities for whom some of what seems to happen in our midst is as weird as circumcision. To a community that doesn't know what that is. Some of the hymns we sing, while they're so traditional to us, are a whole new language to others. We have decisions to make where we need to decide, are we to cling tightly to letters of the law? Or are we going to use those laws to look beyond them? I believe that's what our biblical text is all about. It's all about using that text to look beyond to what is the deeper meaning there. It's looking beyond these pews to look at the deeper community that is there. It's looking beyond the walls of this church into these neighborhoods around us with undergraduates and graduate students, with new immigrants who are coming in and working some of our service jobs, many of whom can't live here but work here. A new thing is happening. We're invited to hear God's voice speaking into that, letting go of things that limit us, that divide us, that put us into 2 categories or 100 categories. And instead, see anew that there is a new creation where we are one in Christ. I invite you into that now. God of grace and God of glory, we give you thanks for all the old that has gone before, the ways we have been shaped and formed by it. Yet we also celebrate the new that is emerging all around us. Help us to be birthed into that new creation. Help us to understand that that creation is birthed in love, with peace and joy, with gentleness and meekness, with kindness and generosity. Teach us how not only to speak into that, but to live into that. To live into that lives of love. Words of grace, of acceptance. Help us to tear down the walls that separate us and replace them with the joy and the peace that can only come from you. We pray all these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I invite you into our sermon song, 659.